Hello everybody. Eglise Evangelique Libre de Bergerac would like to welcome you this Christmas Day 2022. This is Guy's message and a Christmas story from Cécile. The reading is taken from Psalm 150 verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surprising greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Through our instruments and all that lives, we are invited to praise God. Praise him for his creation, for his interventions in the lives of men. Praise him for Christmas, this time of God's coming among us. We will sing joyfully, Bless the Lord. On Sunday, December the 11th, during our day of celebration, I told you that each evangelist had his own way of presenting the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ, his announcement of birth, in a way. Here is how the evangelist Mark presents this good news. We read in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 and verse 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Two Christmas songs, Joy to the World and The Angels in Our Countryside. Christmas story. We have in the Gospels two accounts of the birth of Christ, but we do not have all the details. But we can imagine them, certain events which contributed to his birth. This is called a story. I will let you listen to this story, which is similar, in some ways, to that which we find in Saint-Exupéry's The Little Prince. Cécile will tell us the story. A few years ago, while travelling in the Holy Land, I hired a donkey to ride around Jerusalem. Around noon, I stopped near a fountain to eat and quench my thirst. I made my donkey drink, and curiously enough, I thought I heard him say, "Thank you." Naturally, I chalked it up to the heat and sat down under a fig tree to take a nap. I closed my eyes, ready to sink into a delicious nothingness, when I felt someone staring at me. I opened my eyes. Nobody. I tried again to doze off, but the same impression bothered me. A second time, I realized that I was alone. To put an end to this ridiculous game, I half closed my eyes to surprise my spy. I got up so quickly that he had no time to pretend to eat out of his nose bag. We looked at each other for a long moment. The donkey had a gentle and intelligent look. All he needed was speech, so I was only half surprised to hear him say to me, "How about we get to know each other better?" His voice was poised, slightly sing-song, and much more melodious than the braying which he was, in principle, afflicted with. "I will not refuse the most extraordinary meeting of my life," I replied. Thus began a conversation that was to take us late into the night. I won't tell you everything he taught me, because that would require several books. It is enough to know that my donkey was from the most noble family of donkeys in the Middle East. He even had a famous prophetess in his line. One of his ancestors had transported Mary, the mother of Christ, to Bethlehem, and had witnessed the greatest event in the history of humanity, the first Christmas. He had left this testimony that the donkeys have since handed down, word for word, from generation to generation. I tell it to you as it is known in the Middle East. I lived in Galilee with my master Joseph, a good man who became famous in spite of himself. He treated me well, although he employed me in hard work. He fed me very honestly and even showed me sincere affection. One morning, very early, he prepared me for a trip of which I knew nothing. Who, indeed, would have the idea to inform a donkey of his plans? However, our Creator has endowed us with long ears that allow us to hear whispered secrets. So I found out that we were going to Bethlehem, a little town in Judea. Usually I carried wood, but this morning I was responsible for carrying Marie, Joseph's young wife. I had heard a lot of gossip about her. It was rumoured, among other things, that Joseph had married her out of charity because the child she was expecting was not his. The gossip that was circulating might be true, but my master never cared. He took care of his companion like the apple of his eye. Joseph said, "This census is badly timed, Mary. I hope you can endure such a long trip." He said this as he helped her settle in. Mary was a vigorous young woman, full of gaiety, and this departure did not worry her at all. "It'll be fine, Joseph. I'm sure our donkey will take care of me." I was touched by her confidence and promised myself to be worthy of it in every way. We took 3 long days to reach our destination, 3 days during which time Joseph watched with tenderness over Mary, who found it hard to cope with the fatigue. Late in the afternoon of the 3rd day, we entered Bethlehem. The sun was sinking below the horizon. We were not the only ones in this time of the census. All the doors were closed, wickedly closed. Faced with Joseph's crestfallen face, I decided to mingle. I started to bray loudly to attract attention, and I succeeded. A man passing by was surprised. "So why is your donkey braying like that?" he asked. "He's probably hungry," Joseph replied. "I have no place to stay." "I see," resumed the stranger. "And all this is not very good for your lady." It is true that Mary was very pale. She had lost her energy from the 1st day and complained of painful tightness in her stomach. "I can't put you up in my house," the man said. "My whole family from Jericho is there for several days. However, if it is all right with you, I have a barn a little outside the city. It's not all that great, but you will be sheltered from the rain." The sky had indeed clouded over. The heavy clouds were arriving in great number, as if they too had decided to be counted. Night had fallen, and despite the 2 oil lamps lit by Joseph, it was dark. Mary had stretched out on a straw mattress that my master had fetched. From time to time she let out small moans. "Joseph," she said after a moment, "I believe the hour of birth has come." Joseph grew pale. "Are you sure? He should have been born after our return." I felt extremely embarrassed. In Nazareth, the elderly Rachel could have helped us. He was fidgeting, pacing back and forth, thinking of a satisfactory solution. "I could go get some help, but I don't want to leave you alone." As he spoke, I heard a slight scratching at the door that Joseph obviously hadn't noticed. A moment later I heard the same noise, then I saw the door open slowly, giving way to a very old woman. She was marked with deep wrinkles, crumpled like a raisin. She had an air of peace and wisdom that I had never encountered in any human. She stood silently by the door, waiting for someone to notice her presence. However, neither Mary nor Joseph reacted, so preoccupied were they. For the second time, I decided to intervene, so I began to bray with conviction, to signal the presence of the old woman. "Shut up, then," Joseph scolded me. "Now is not the time to get noticed." Of course, I ignored his observation and continued to bray louder. In my donkey language, I said to him, "Turn around, we have a visitor." Joseph had finally understood me and ended up turning towards the door. He then discovered the old woman, shrouded in light, as if the dawn, which was still far away, had already risen above her. And the first moment of surprise, Joseph spoke to her. "Hello, grandmother. Excuse us for this reception. We are very concerned. My wife is about to give birth, and I feel a little distraught." The woman smiled. There was a mischievous gleam in her eyes. "If you want, I can give you a hand. I have already assisted in the birth of many children." "Heaven sent you," exclaimed Joseph, and he perked up. Without wasting a moment, they got to work, helping Mary as best they could. Joseph scrupulously carried out all the tasks that the old midwife entrusted to him. The latter assisted the young woman in the slow evolution of labour, relieving the pain with a simple caress. And the child Jesus came into the world. He uttered a cry like all newborns, and eyes wide open he observed the place where he had arrived. Once swaddled, he drank from his mother's breast and then fell asleep in his makeshift cradle, an old manger that Joseph had prepared. While the happy parents gazed at their firstborn son, I turned to the old woman, convinced that she would understand my language. "Who are you really?" I asked her. "I am the angel of life. Do you believe that the Son of God could be born without his father sending him help?" I thought to myself that he could have found a more suitable place. "But I am only a donkey, and it has been explained to me since that it could not be otherwise." While we were talking, I saw my interlocutor gradually transform into an immense being with a radiant face whose immaculate wings diffused an extraordinary light in the stable. Suddenly Joseph said, "It is day. Where did our midwife go?" Joseph did not see the angel, who gave me a knowing wink. Before flying away, he caressed the cheek of the child, who opened his eyes and smiled at him as if he knew him. With joy I began to bray. Instead of the painful sounds that usually take the place of language, a hallelujah as magnificent as it is unexpected sprang from my throat. "Even the donkeys understand our wonderful secret," remarked Mary. "It was thus," continued my donkey, "that my ancestor from Bethlehem, conscious of having been associated with a unique event, decided to transmit the story of this day to his children. Since then, the memory has never been lost." He paused for a moment before adding, "What I told you is not to be found in any book. It is a gift that the Creator gave to the most humbled and abused creature on this earth. You can report my words. However, be sure of one thing. No one will believe you." It was late. We fell asleep under a fig tree. The next morning I wanted to resume our conversation, but my donkey did not answer. He had the eyes of a donkey, played with his tail, like all donkeys, brayed to claim his oats, and remained deaf to my pleas. The message for today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 30. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The Virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." God invites us to drop the masks, just as he reveals himself in humility. With Mary, we are not in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, but in a very simple house in a northern city in Galilee. God does not intervene with a famous person, but with a young girl who is just beginning her life as a woman and of whom nothing is known except that she is engaged to a certain Joseph of the house of David. Why her? Why this city of Nazareth, when we know that for the Jews, the city and even the whole region do not have a good reputation? Of this region, the prophet Isaiah already spoke 8 centuries before. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 says this: "In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the land east of the Jordan and Galilee, the region of foreigners." In times past, Galilee was not honoured. Galilee, where the city of Nazareth is precisely located. And from Nazareth we have another rather negative testimony contained in John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46. As Philip becomes a disciple of Jesus, he tells Nathanael about Jesus. "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael has this answer in verse 46: "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" If God is so great, why doesn't he enter through the front door into our humanity? Why not with a procession of angels rather than just one in the secrecy of a room? Why not in a palace rather than in an unknown house? Why choose an engaged and unmarried girl? Why confuse a man like Joseph who didn't ask for anything? But God does not put on the mask of "Have you seen me?" of bling, bling. He joins us in what we are, sinners in need of meaning for our life. He joins us to walk with us and reveals to us little by little our destiny, a destiny of eternal life. He is Jesus of Nazareth, a man among men. He did not remain hidden, far from our humanity. And then he is Jesus Christ, announced Messiah, powerful King, God. Yes, God among men. Just as for Mary, new life begins in humility, we are invited to take the same path and maybe come back several times to the beginning of this path because of our wandering. But just like Mary, let us hear what the angel says: "Do not be afraid, for God has granted you favour." Today, let us remember Nazareth and Bethlehem before looking to Jerusalem and even to the heavenly Jerusalem. Let us humbly turn to God and express our gratitude to him for his call to us, whoever we are, to be part of his people. The Christmas carol Emmanuel will be sung. Then there will be a blessing. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Suddenly in the house it is very dark. A child is afraid of the dark. He speaks to his mother, who is in the next room. "Talk to me because I'm scared. It gets lighter when you talk to me." On the night of Jesus' birth, some shepherds were surprised by the intervention of an angel in the midst of a great light. They were at first afraid, but the angel spoke to them, "Do not fear. I bring you news that will be a source of great joy for you." The shepherds were reassured. Our world is sometimes in darkness. There's violence, wars, injustices. There's famine, fears of tomorrow, loneliness. The Word of God became flesh. May the Word of God dwell in our silences. May the light of God illuminate our darkness. May the love of God mend our relationships. May the peace of God dwell in our hearts. We will sing a song of thankfulness. Amen.